There's a case from close by right here at Round Rock ISD, Wolber versus Round Rock ISD, about missed deadlines set in the briefing schedule. In this case, Mr. Wolber was appealing his non-renewal, and he requested an extension of time. Opposing counsel agreed to the request, but the commissioner denied the request because it was outside of the statutory timelines, and he cited to some cases that say that those statutory timelines are strict and must be followed. In response, Wolber filed his brief, but filed it 3 days late with a footnote saying, I filed this late, my request for extension of time was denied. And the commissioner said that that was not the proper way to request an enlargement of time. He could have filed a motion, served a certificate of conference, and indicated the good cause that mandated the expansion of time, the enlargement of time, but that is not what he did. In the district's response, the district objected to the late filed brief, and ultimately the commissioner found that he lacked jurisdiction over this non-renewal for failure to timely file a brief. It removed this from his jurisdictional jurisprudence. So there was some notes, if this is something that's coming up for you, there's some good notes about how you would request an enlargement of time properly. And the commissioner just simply said that did not happen in this case. Those are our non-renewal cases for the year. Moving right along, now we're looking at reassignments. We had two reassignments this case, and those who are paying attention might notice that they have something in common. You know that generally the district has a lot of flexibility to reassign an employee in the same professional capacity. In this case, we have Mr. Martinez, who served as the director of parental involvement at Rio Grande City CISD, and he was reassigned to the position of attendance and adjudication administrator. His pay was kept the same, and he complained that this reassignment breached his employment contract. The commissioner said that he did not have jurisdiction over this claim because under 7.057, an employee must show that there was monetary harm. Because his salary was not changed, there was no monetary harm shown, and therefore the commissioner did not have jurisdiction over Mr. Martinez's claim. Well, the attorneys involved in these cases can fill us in on how long Mr. Martinez stayed in the position of attendance and adjudication administrator, or perhaps this district has two such positions. But in any event, just 2 months later, we saw a subsequent case with the same school district in which the district reassigned Mr. Ramirez, the athletic director, to attendance and adjudication administrator. So this was a very similar case that I picked up on only upon reading the decisions at the end of the year, that the school district used the same position to reassign two certified administrators. So in this case, Mr. Ramirez was an athletic director, which seems like a more clear job title than the prior director of parental involvement. He was reassigned to this attendance and adjudication coordinator position, and he was also employed under a certified administrator contract. He objected to the reassignment, saying that this violated his Chapter 21 contract. But again, the commissioner looked and said there was no reduction of pay. I don't have jurisdiction over this claim because there was no monetary harm. But in this case, there was a little bit more attention paid to factors related to that professional capacity. Essentially, the commissioner looked at the position of athletic director and the position of attendance and adjudication administrator and found that they both were at the same level on the organizational chart of the district. They both had district-wide authority, and they both required the same professional skills. So looking at the authority, the duty, and the salary components, this was also dismissed for lack of jurisdiction. And that takes us through our two reassignment cases to the same position. Moving on to detachment and annexation. And not to sound like too much of a nerd, but I found these DNA decisions to be particularly interesting this year. If you live in the Beaumont area, you might be aware of this claim from the citizens of Bevel Oaks who have been seeking to be detached from Beaumont ISD and annexed into Hardin-Jefferson ISD for the past year or so. This decision is published as an agreed order from both parties. For some geographical reference, you'll notice that Bevel Oaks appears to be a neighborhood that is on the edge of Beaumont ISD's jurisdictional or district boundaries, and it comprises only 13 acres inside that boundary. Hardin-Jefferson was okay with that request for annexation. They passed a resolution last May of 2017, almost 2 years ago now, approving the petition, but the Beaumont ISD Board of Managers disapproved the resolution in that same time. This made the local news, as it's considered the Bevel Oaks neighborhood lost its bid to lose Beaumont ISD. We're talking about 75 kids in total in this neighborhood that lived there in 2015, 2016. And just for your information, 48 of them attended school in Beaumont. 27 of them had already transferred to Hardin-Jefferson ISD. So it was the citizens in this neighborhood that filed the petition for review, and the commissioner looked through the factors in 13.051, which is the detachment and annexation statute, and found that looking at the reduction of the task space, the impact on educational interests of students, and the social, economic, and educational effects of the boundary change, that the order should be granted. So the order was granted this past summer, and hooray, the Bevel Oaks students were released from Beaumont ISD, and now we'll attend Hardin-Jefferson, and that's from our local Fox affiliate in the Southeast Texas area.